League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood here in our Lambeau Field office a day following the Packers' second preseason game versus the New England Patriots. Guys, a game that was suspended early. We'll kind of get into that a little bit. And then we just also met with Matt LaFleur, who spoke for 30 minutes and did what he calls a little soapboxing. He definitely got on his soapbox about some things. Nothing serious. I think he was just having fun. A lot to talk about after 2 weeks of preseason games, though. Only one left. First, let's just address the way the game ended last night. Game was called and suspended with 10 minutes, 29 seconds left in the fourth quarter as Patriots defensive back Isaiah Bolden was stretchered off, taken to a local hospital. The Patriots update on Sunday morning said he has been released. He is traveling back to Foxborough with the team. Their joint practices with the Tennessee Titans were canceled for the week. Spoon, you've covered a lot of football. Have you seen a game suspended with over 10 minutes left?
Well, I have. Usually it's been for weather. I think that's probably the first, well, it's definitely the first time an injury has ended a game. It was unfortunate, and, you know, it sort of shows the NFL can do all it wants to outlaw, you know, lowering the helmet and, you know, all the different rules about spearing, but it can't stop two guys from colliding. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing malicious about the play whatsoever. It's two Patriots players colliding as they made a tackle, and it's the violence of the sport. That's what the guys sign up for. It's a shame that it happens, and, you know, the guy and his family are very lucky.
Yeah.
That, I mean, as far as we know, the reports have been good.
And definitely wishing and praying for all the best for Isaiah Bolden. Ryan, I spoke to a few different guys in the locker room last night, and they said they think the league is being more proactive following the Damar Hamlin injury last year when that Bengals and Bills game was called. That one had playoff implications. That's obviously a different scenario than a preseason game. But do you think we're sort of seeing maybe a little bit of shift just in how the league might? Again, preseason game makes a little bit of difference. But do you think we're seeing a little bit of shift just in how the league might be approaching sort of these sort of in-game situations?
Well, preseason game makes a lot of difference. I don't think that we learned that fully last night because that's a game that most likely, and I asked Matt LaFleur after the game, it being preseason, it doesn't count in the standings at all. Did that factor? He's like, yeah, that factored. I think that's a game that likely would have continued if it wasn't preseason. But it's preseason. It doesn't count. I mean, Alex Magoo lost some snaps, and that's definitely unfortunate. But, you know, at the end of the day, from a significant standpoint, what the Packers needed to do, what the Patriots needed to do, was mostly done. So I don't think that that translates to the regular season. We'll see. I mean, if that happens in the regular season, maybe they do. But I don't think we know yet.
Can I just add that I don't think it was at the goodness of the NFL's heart. I think it was totally a PR move, which is almost everything that they do, because it would look horrible if they continued that game, a preseason game. You know, I don't think I think if they're sensitive, they're sensitive about people's emotions watching these games. You know, the Damar Hamlin changed a lot of people's opinion about the you know, fragileness of playing football. And so they would have looked terrible, I think, if they would have continued it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Goodell was smart enough to recognize that, you know, with a preseason game, just end it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Last note on this before we do move on. I don't know if anyone felt worse on the field, maybe, and that's putting words in people's mouth, but then Malik Keith, the Packers receiver who was involved in the play, he ducked, and that's when the two Patriots players collided. Malik got up and celebrated because he had made the first down, then realized Bolden was on the field. He tried to go speak to Bolden when they were getting ready to take him off, and the Patriots wouldn't let him. And he seemed to feel pretty bad about that afterwards. Those two guys actually trained together, both lived in Jackson, Mississippi, were neighbors at one point. So that's someone that he knows very well, which also just kind of reminds you that for all of the scuffles and fights that broke out this week, a lot of these guys know each other and care about each other too. So, you know, an interesting moment for sure. As you said, Ryan, Alex Magoo didn't get any drives last night. He likely will on Saturday, but the quarterback landscape in this game changes a little bit yet again, finding out that Jordan Love will play on Saturday versus the Seahawks. Matt LaFleur made that clear on Sunday. He said straight up he will play. He said also, which I thought was interesting, he wanted to see how Love handled this week and said that they intentionally did the game times the way they did. I guess I thought that was all TV, but it made it sound like the Packers and other teams, I guess, had some sort of say-so over when they kicked off. Is that correct, Spoon? Did I interpret that right?
I was kind of drowsing during that part of the press conference. I did hear him say that, you know, he thought it'd be a good experience for him to play a night game and then a noon game, because that'll come up during the season and that every experience is a good one for Love. I think he'll play him a series or two. And I think it's just another chance to get a look at a different defense, quick look. I'd be surprised if they played. I don't think he wants to put his offensive line in harm as much as he wants, at the same time, putting Love there, because he's got to play his starting offensive line. If Love's going to play, he's not going to throw his number twos out there with Love. So how long does he want to play those guys? You know, I think that's what it kind of comes down to.
His number twos have kept Sean Clifford pretty clean, though, too.
That's also the reason why he didn't schedule joint practices this week, because this is kind of a transitional week now for the Packers, where they're, and this happens every camp, they're going to start thinking about week one. You know, the real teeth of camp is kind of behind, and I imagine you might see plays off cards this week. I think this is the week for that. So they, as Matt LaFleur said, we're going to focus on us this week. He didn't feel the need to have joint practices against the Seahawks. So that's where they're at. It's transitional. It's all speed ahead to week one.
You know, also, I wouldn't be surprised if he changed his mind, because it's supposed to be a brutally hot week. You know, it's supposed to be in the 90s, Tuesday,
Yay.
Wednesday, Thursday, mm-hmm. or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever it is.
I did not know that.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so, you know, by the end of the week, his guys could be just kind of shot, and maybe he doesn't want to risk something. So we'll see how that goes. That'll be something to watch.
He was more definitive today, saying Jordan Love was going to play, than he was last night. He basically said last night that he's going to play, but he said, I reserve the right to change my mind, which kind of had me thinking he might get out of, you know, emotions are still fresh, especially last night. He might get out of this thinking, okay, Jordan Love has 5 possessions. Each of his 2 starts ended with touchdowns. He's got a 124 passer rating on the preseason. You can't ask for much more than what he's done. Maybe we'll just play it safe with him and, to your point, the starting offense, and get ready for week one. But he was pretty definitive today. I thought that was interesting.
The other thing, not to prolong this, but we all remember a couple of times under his leadership, they've come out in week one and just dropped an egg, mm-hmm. you know?
That's a great point.
And I think that's probably in the back of his mind, too. Like, okay, well, at least on those occasions, he had Aaron Rodgers who could, you know, do the offense in his sleep. But, you know, Jordan Love, this is a progression to try to get to week one. So that could be part of it, too.
And this is a winnable week one game for them, too. It's not like they've got the Kansas City Chiefs week one. This is a game that, one, for Jordan Love's confidence, you want him to start well. And two, he has a chance to start well. Like, they could go down to Chicago and win this game.
Make a statement in the NFC North. They need to do that in week one.
Yeah, especially opening with a divisional opponent. You mentioned not wanting to send him out there with the second offensive line. Let's talk about the offensive line for a second. Matt LaFleur was asked again today about, you know, starting five, how is it going to shake out, and said that he thinks that Josh Myers has done a lot over the past couple of weeks to progress, which is what they wanted him to do. Other than David Bakhtiari, who set out last night, that starting offensive line looked to me like what it will be week one. How much are you weighing Zach Tom possibly at center versus being a really, really good tackle? Like, if you have someone who's a really, really good tackle, I hate to word it like this, but do you waste him at center?
Yeah, I think he's the starting right tackle. I think that's already determined. LaFleur would not bite on that when I asked him about it. I mean, I thought today he would just say, okay, yeah, he's the right tackle. He's played so well.
Welcome to my world a week ago. I asked him the same thing. Didn't bite.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that Rashid Walker played pretty well at left tackle and Yosh Nijman is kind of fading big time, there's no real reason to move him to center. I mean, Myers will be good enough, even if he's not great, but Tom is going to be the best right tackle they can put out there. I don't think that's even in question, is it? Is there anybody they could put out there that's better than him?
I've been saying and it all camp.
You can get by with good enough at center. You can't get by with good enough at tackle. Correct. Is that fair to say?
Correct, yes. I think that's true. And, you know, their guard play has been pretty good. And I saw a lot of really good double team blocks in the run game. And New England's front, you know, they're not like all-stars like Philadelphia, but they're pretty tough. They're pretty hard-nosed. And they got some nice push in the run game. So I think we're seeing their starting lineup right now.
Let's flip to the other side of the front. Kingsley and Igbari had two sacks last night versus the Patriots. A little bit of caveat there. He didn't get that sack on Trent Brown. He didn't get that sack. You know, it's not like he's facing the power beaters on those two plays. But still, he told us after the game, he said the first sack, which came, I believe, on the right tackle, he said that was something he saw during the week he could do to that guy, that he could use that move on that guy, which I think shows progress for a young player to kind of realize, like, okay, this is my opponent this week. And he even said, you know, that's what I had to learn. I couldn't just bull rush all the time. I had to learn about who I was facing and how to use moves against them, which is what we saw. Because it was two different moves for both sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, with his advancement, I mean, is he pretty much solidified himself as outside linebacker number three behind Smith and Gary?
Well, he's coming off a really good rookie year for a fifth-round pick. You know, he had three sacks, eight quarterback hits last year, and I thought coming into camp that the Packers were in a pretty good place from a depth concept on that depth chart at edge rusher in a way that they just have not been very often in the past. So that they have that going for them, which is important because Rashawn Gary might take some time, even if he's ready to go week one. He might take some time to be Rashawn Gary again. You know, it took Elton Jenkins some time to be Elton Jenkins last year. That's just the nature of that injury. So having depth there is very important, especially this year. Yeah, I don't think there's, you know, if this was week one and Rashawn Gary didn't play, wasn't ready, I think that you'd see Kingsley and Igbari as the starting outside linebacker next to Preston Smith. Now, there's still some time to go. I do think, different than Zach Tom at right tackle, I think that there's a little bit to play out there on that depth chart. But it's interesting. He didn't just have two sacks and a fumble recovery last night. He had a really good week of practice.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple sacks in practice. Matt LaFleur told him
three of them.
Before kickoff, you're going to have a couple sacks tonight. Then he went out and had a couple sacks. So they're sensing something there. And again, at bottom line, whether he's the outside linebacker three or Rashawn Gary doesn't happen to play week one in Chicago and he's starting, they've got Rashawn Gary coming back, they've got Preston Smith, and they've got depth at that position in a way they haven't had in a long time. That helps.
And he's picking up for Lucas Van Ness not really being a factor. I don't think he's been a factor in pass rush at all. And I think it's going to be a process for him if at all he becomes a really good pass rusher. But I think he's going to be the typical first-year guy, you know, rookie guy. And Anikbari is so much farther ahead of him as a pass rusher.
I don't think that's an indictment. I think it's too early, at least, to say it's an indictment on Lucas Van Ness, because it took Rashawn Gary most of that rookie season. You know, this is just the nature of that position. Even if you're a first-round pick, Rashawn Gary is picked 12th in his draft. Lucas Van Ness picked 13th, and it took Rashawn Gary a year before, you know, it was year two. He's like, okay, now he's starting to show it in 11-on-11. That I think that was always kind of the expectation for Lucas Van Ness. It would have bucked the trend for him to come in and be a dominant pass rusher week one as a rookie. That just doesn't happen very often at all. So I think the jury's still out on him, but it's not a surprise to me that Kingsley Anagbari's ahead.
It's true. That's totally true. Mm-hmm. The one thing, though, with Rashawn Gary was that you knew that he was, you know, a first-class athlete. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, off-the-charts kind of athlete strength. And Lucas Van Ness is a big dude with long arms and everything like that, but I just don't have that same feel with him that I did with Gary that, you know, okay, at some point his athletic ability is going to come through. So we'll see. I'm not writing him off in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying that right now he's not a factor.
You know what's interesting about that? They tested very similarly coming out from the combine into the draft. Now, Rashawn Gary is a little bit better, but it was in the ballpark. The thing with Rashawn Gary, even as a rookie, one-on-ones, he was dominant. He was lights out. It just didn't translate to 11-on-11. We haven't seen a ton of one-on-one in this camp, but and that's, I think, a factor, a byproduct of a lot of joint practices. But yeah. It hasn't been dominant for Lucas Van Ness yet in one-on-one settings. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he looks like he's really feeling it through, like, he's mechanical, you know, as opposed to bam, bam, bam. You know, like, and Anagbari knew what he was going to do on that first sack, you know, get his arm up in that guy's pads and just rocked him. And so, anyway.
I feel like Van Ness was drafted knowing he could be a project, too, right? He played, you know, not a 1,000 snaps at Iowa. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and he was kind of an inside, you know, he did some inside pass rushing outside. You know, so, yeah, point being that it's really, they're He's really wrong. Lucky that Anikbari is coming around, because I don't think Van Ness is ready to be a factor.
You know, it was an upside pick. Why do you do that? Why do you make an upside pick there? Well, I think there's a few reasons. One, they know what their team is in 2023. There's a lot of, at every position, there's a lot of guys developing. Two, they have depth there. I mean, this is not a thin outside linebacker group like it's been in the past. So they have depth that they have other guys that can play snaps like Kingsley Anagbari, like Justin Hollins potentially, while Lucas Van Ness transitions. And then at the end of the day, you play the long game at a very important position. You cannot have enough good edge rushers. So if there's a high ceiling on a guy, you give him time at that position, because that's what wins ball games.
There's a couple other things I want to discuss, so let's spend 60 seconds on safety real quick. Both Rudy Ford and Jonathan Owens had a moment Saturday night, but it was just individual. It was like one moment. Matt LaFleur actually gave Owens a little bit more credit for the play he made than I maybe thought he deserved in the moment. I thought he was just kind of right place, right time when he batted down a ball at the line. Matt LaFleur today made it sound like Owens read it based off an RPO that the Patriots had run earlier in the game. Rudy Ford came up and made a big tackle on the goal line. Of course, two plays later, Patriots still got in for a touchdown. There's not a lot of answers there for that safety next to Darnell Savage. So quickly, do you think they could feasibly go into the season with a rotation there while they still kind of figure it out?
No. They got to pick somebody. And
is it just lesser of two evils?
I don't know what they're going to do there. You know, Rudy Ford, he was lauding him for his play in the run, and all I can think of, there was a run off guard, and he had to come in and fill the hole, and someone just destroyed him. I mean, maybe it's not his fault, you know, because it's like a crackback, you know, some coming in, but still, I don't see anything that tells me, you know, maybe I would just throw Anthony Johnson out there and just, you know, just he's a rookie. He's obviously got some talent. He's a good athlete. None of those other guys do anything for me.
Even that stop on the goal line, I went back and watched the game last night, and Ford got credited with the tackle because he's who wrapped the guy up initially, mm-hmm. but he got a lot of help from Rasul Douglas on that tackle as well, who came in and cleaned it up. So
Rasul Douglas. I'm not trying to get in a big debate here, but I'm just saying that I'm with you, Spoon. I haven't seen much at all from the safeties that they continue to trot out like a revolving door, and I'm not convinced that at some point this season they're not going to have to go with that idea.
I don't – you know what? This whole thing with Douglas is reminiscent of – what happened with Micah Hyde. You know, Tom Capers refused to play him at safety, and they wanted him to be a slot corner. They really liked him as a slot corner. And so Ted Thompson said, well, I'm not going to pay him, you know, $5 million a year as a corner when I think he's a safety. And he goes to Buffalo, and he becomes a safety, and he's really good.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, what do they have to do with some of these coaches to – slap him upside the head, you know?
And, like, Rasul Douglas is a really good perimeter corner. You can say he would also be a really good safety without putting him down as a perimeter corner. He's a really good perimeter corner. The problem is they don't have a safety. Like, and they have some other options at perimeter corner. So, for the good of the defense, when you are the joker in the deck, when you can play everything, I'm not convinced that that's not going to come to that.
I mean, Elgton Jenkins, in my opinion, Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom are the two best centers on the team, but they're playing other positions because they can. Yeah. So put him at that position. But it's crazy, you know. It's just like he's not going
to
do it.
Not trying to rock the boat. I'm not trying. Not
last
trying to make
thing
anyone
before
angry.
Before we wrap up, put your GM hats on for a second. Let's say you're keeping only six wide receivers, based off what you've seen through training camp. Are you giving that sixth spot to Malik Heath or Grant DuBose?
Heath is on my team if I'm the GM.
Yeah.
There's no way I'd let that. And you know what? It may not be that he would get picked up, but he fits what they need him, a guy to do. They need a big, strong guy who can go across the middle in certain situations and who can block. They've always needed a big blocking receiver. The guy can play special teams. Does he do anything, you know, less than full speed and, you know, with tremendous effort? And, you know, he's just a
he
badass.
He bailed Clifford out last night on a throw, too.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was a badass on that throw when he bailed Clifford out.
I asked him, I said, when I was watching, it looked like Clifford was throwing it to two Patriots guys.
Coverage.
I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I just thought I'd jump in there and see if I could get it. You know?
I asked Matt LaFleur about that exact thing today. He's like, yeah, guy made a play for him. Not what you want, but guy made a play for him. I'll keep it short and sweet. I think that the chances of Malik Heath being on the roster are higher than him being released or less than them keeping seven receivers. I think that they maybe they go seven receivers. They've done it before. Grant DuBose as well, maybe both. I don't see them releasing Malik Heath.
Yeah, I don't think.
You know, maybe the fact that there's not a ton of knowledge on DuBose just because he hasn't played much could work in their favor. They could sneak him on and then re-sign him later. And I don't mean to sound insensitive saying this, but you could see seven receivers just because they did lose Tyler Davis. You know, maybe they don't fill that spot on the roster with another tight end. Maybe they make up for it in a receiver. So we will find out in a week and 2 days August 29th.
Nothing would surprise me.
Yeah. We do have a full week of practice here in Green Bay. It's going to be what Matt LaFleur called more like a normal game week. This Sunday is sort of their we're recording this on Sunday. That's sort of their game week Monday. And then they will have tomorrow off and then practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Have Friday off. Kickoff at noon on Saturday. And as Matt LaFleur said, Jordan Love will play. And so we will be back here to cover it for you all. We'll be here all week. We will have blogs going through practice as well and full coverage for you. Guys, thanks so much. This may have been the quickest podcast we've ever done.
Look at us.
We're going to wrap it up there. This has been the Green 19 Podcast from Days Online at PackersNews.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.